Welcome to Daily Defining Moments. This is Pastor Allen, and I'm so glad you're with me. Our goal each day is to help you open your Bible and connect with Jesus. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We're reading through the New Testament portion of the one-year Bible in the New Living Translation. Today is December 22nd, and our reading comes from Revelation chapter 13. Before we jump into our reading, let me just say, what I'm trying to do is give you a general understanding of the book of Revelation, and I must say, there are a lot of different interpretations to what we're working on right now. So we have to hold all of this with a measure of humility. In today's reading, we're talking about the rise of the Antichrist, which happens right at the middle of the tribulation period, and he rules on the earth for the last 3.5 years. So beginning in chapter 13, verse 1, he says, "Then I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. It had 7 heads and 10 horns with 10 crowns on its horns." And if you remember from yesterday, many people believe that represents the emergence of the Roman Empire. And written on each head were names that blasphemed God. So he hates God. Verse 2, "This beast looked like a leopard, had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion." And all that points us back to the prophecy of Daniel. And the leopard represents speed, the bear represents power, the lion represents greed. And this final kingdom will basically be a culmination of all the evils and the vices of all the worldly kingdoms throughout history. Verse 3, "I saw that one of the heads of the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed." Now, some people think that means the Antichrist will be physically wounded, experience a supernatural healing because he's copying Jesus, his death and resurrection, and it'll cause the world to worship him. Some people think this means the Roman Empire fell. It looked like it was dead and gone, but then the Antichrist kind of resurrects the Roman Empire. But it could be either one of those two interpretations. The whole world marveled at the miracle and gave allegiance to the beast. They worshiped the dragon. Remember, the dragon is Satan, for giving the beast, Antichrist, such power. And they also worshiped the beast. "Who is as great as the beast?" they exclaimed. "Who is able to fight against him?" Then the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. Again, the second half of the 7-year tribulation period, 42 months, 3.5 years. "And he spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them." And again, I believe the church has already been removed, and these are people that have given their life to Jesus during the tribulation period. "And he was given authority to rule over every tribe, people, language, and nation, and all the people who belong to this world. They worshiped the beast. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made." So all the people that are worshiping the beast, they are not believers in Christ. Their name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. When you trust in Jesus, your name is put in his book. Verse 11, "Then I saw another beast." Now this is the false prophet, "come up out of the earth. He had 2 horns like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon." So he appears to be innocent, but he speaks like Satan. "He exercised all the authority of the first beast, and he required all the earth and its people worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. He did astounding miracles, even making fire flash down to earth from the sky while everyone was watching. And with all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast, he deceived all the people who belonged to this world. He ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast, who was fatally wounded and then came back to life. He was then permitted to give life to this statue so that it could speak. Then the statue of the beast commanded that anyone refusing to worship it must die." So the false prophet is given supernatural powers. He does miracles. He sets up an image of the Antichrist and then actually gives the image the ability to speak. And if you don't worship the beast in his image, then you were to be persecuted, killed. Verse 16, he required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead, and no one could buy or sell anything without that mark. So remember, when they trusted Jesus, God gave them a mark that identified them as his people. Well, when you worshiped the Antichrist, bowed down to the image, you received a mark that identified you as a follower of the Antichrist. And without that mark, you couldn't buy or sell. Now, when you read that, that seems so easy to kind of understand and to embrace today. But 50 years ago, and for all time before that, how could the Antichrist or the false prophet control the way people did commerce? Well, now that's very easy to understand because all of our commerce is interconnected, right? We're going to a cashless society. Everything is becoming digital. And so if you don't have that mark, it'll be very easy to control your spending. So that's what's described here. And then verse 18, wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. So in the Bible, numbers represent certain things, and 6 is the number of man. 3 sixes is a trinity, right? 3 sixes just emphasizes man and his independence. So the Antichrist requires everybody to have 666 on their hand or on their forehead in order to buy and sell, in order to trade. So again, you read all this and say, what does this say to us as believers today? Well, number one, it says, I'm so thankful for Jesus who came to rescue us from judgment, tribulation. We're the children of God, and we will live forever with him and rule and reign with him. Secondly, it tells us, man, I'm so thankful for the rapture, that God is going to bring the church home so we don't have to go through the tribulation period. Third, I think it creates an urgency in us to do all we can to tell people about Jesus. So listen, make a list of the people that you need to invite to a Christmas service. What a great opportunity. And listen, people will say yes to an invitation to a Christmas service who wouldn't normally say yes. So let's have a sense of urgency. We want our family and friends, the people that we know and love, to escape God's judgment by giving their life to Jesus. So invite them to a Christmas service so they can see and hear the gospel and give their heart and life to him. And then finally, man, we can rest in the fact that our God reigns. He will have the ultimate victory. He will triumph over all his enemies, and we will rule and reign with him. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for what we're learning going through the book of Revelation. There's a lot in here that's really challenging to understand, and the tribulation period is so terrible. God, I'm so grateful that because of what Jesus has done, we've been rescued from judgment and won't have to go through the tribulation. And I pray that you give us a sense of urgency. Give us open doors. Lord, give us favor with people in our community. Let's invite them to a Christmas service. We pray for a great harvest of souls, that our friends and family, the people we know and love, would give their heart and life to Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for being with me again today. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We'll see you again tomorrow.